Hey, this is Tom Zoller, creator of Long Distance, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Unleash the geek in you.
The things I do for Gotham.
Hello and welcome to the GeekCast Radio Network's 2017 Year in Review. I am one of your hosts, DFG1 Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
Today we're going to recap moments from 2017, and we're about 6 days late. Normally I like to put this out New Year's Eve on each year. Sadly, life has happened to me in 2017, and
among other people.
I normally don't have a life. Remember, like, come on. Well, 2017 was a banner year for that. Absolutely. Let's see. Early 2017, by my birthday, I was, destroyed from the quote unquote online relationship I had had the year or two before.
We'll just call it the online apocalypse.
Yeah. The internet apocalypse of 2016. That's what it was.
The juggernaut.
Not bitch. I've been slowing down on my podcasting because in August 6th of 2017, I met my now wife Karen online. We started talking back and forth on one of the various dating sites that are out there, and soon after we talked on the phone. About a day later, we ended up spending 24 hours out of 72 on the phone with each other talking and yada yada yada. September 8th, she had come down to Louisville to meet me for the first time, and ended up coming back here to Chicago with her for a short vacation, and things, went from there. We went back to Louisville, basically moved me from there to here to Chicago. I am now living in the central time zone, worst time zone ever.
The fake one, right?
Yeah, the fake one. Fake news, that's right.
Fake time.
Mm-hmm. Fake time. That's right.
It's terrible.
It's.
I just did Arnold.
Yes.
I will terminate the time zone.
Yes.
There will be no more.
I have to ice you a few questions. That's Terminator and Ace Ventura all in one, folks. Karen and I, it's amazing how much we have in common, yet we are still very different people at times. People kept saying, oh, isn't that a little fast? And, well, it's not really. When it's right, it's right, is what I keep telling people when they ask me that,
It's dual time.
Oh. Well, go away, Tim. I will not be your Al Borland. At this point, we're both like, why wait? Why put off, a 2 month engagement, 6 month engagement, whatever. So we had it's actually funny. We met, we got engaged, we went on our first date, actual date, because I don't count going out to dinner with each other unless it's a special thing. I'd like going to, let's say, McDonald's or Chili's, or those aren't like date things. That's just dinner to me. We went on our first actual date when I was able to get comped at the Music Box Theater here in Chicago to see the documentary King Cohen, all about the filmmaker Larry Cohen. And I did an episode of the La La Land Lounge about that for him, because La La Land Entertainment, that was their first non-music thing that they had done. And finally got to meet up with Matt Verboys from La La Land Records. Very cool meeting him. He's my contact over there. Sends me all the cool CD soundtrack stuff that they have. I will be doing the CW scores soon, Matt. I'm now married and living in Chicago.
Get me out of Louisville!
Ooh.
technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
We went on a nice little mini moon to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, which is really nice out there. We're actually going on our real honeymoon in about 30 days from when this is being recorded. So, yay! Life is happening. And I've really, like I said, I've really slowed down on the podcasting because it's like, I love it. I've always loved it. But I've always also said real life comes first. And Karen is very supportive of the podcasting and all that and everything else. And it's just one of those things where I will try my best to work on it during the day when she's at her job and I'm here and just, you know, need to get stuff done. And but there are just times recently where I'm just like, I'm too tired. I don't want to deal with this. It's still holiday time. It was still holiday time when I was saying all this. So there are going to be plenty of things coming that are already been recorded, folks. Don't worry. There's going to be plenty of content. But I'm reevaluating how the content for me, my content, is released and produced and all that and everything else. So how is your 2017, Steve?
A lot of happened.
Not a lot of happening.
Well, a lot of stuff happened.
Exactly.
Just between podcasts, I've managed to double my Altered Geek numbers. Not that I'm talking numbers, but just
the
fact that I actually had consistent content all year, and then some weeks I doubled up, which actually helped. And then the fact that I've taken over Future Imperfect completely now. It's 100% all grade Steve Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've been doing that. And then among other things, been putting out more All Things Transformers. Some weeks putting out as many as 5 podcasts in a week just because I'm crazy. Yeah, there's been some reformatting as we've been rumbling some things behind the scenes that we're working on, and
that will be talked about in a future podcast announcement.
Yes. Yep, not here.
Not here.
We are going to be bringing back a majority of things, but I don't know if that's where we want to bring it up right now or wait.
We'll wait.
So yeah, that's right. Suffer, people, suffer. But we've unfortunately lost a lot of people too this year.
Yeah, 2017 was
I went through this list trying to compile this thing, and I was like, how can I cut this down so we're not like reading a death toll that goes on for like 12 pages? Yeah. And it seems like we lost like 200 some odd people this year, which is just ridiculous. But I tried to pick out some of the most key
geek ones, yeah.
Well, geek ones, or you know, astronaut type people, or yeah, actors, or whatever. Just people that people would, for the most part, know. There's a few names that you wouldn't know them necessarily by name, but you might know something they've been associated with.
Mm-hmm. First on the list, Rodimus Prime,
which is crazy.
Yeah, Dick Gaudier, most people will remember him as Jaime the Robot in the TV series Get Smart, but he was also the Season 3 voice of Rodimus Prime in Transformers Generation 1, which is crazy because Judd was at 2016. Dick was at a BotCon before BotCon got killed off itself in 2016. Like, he was at a recent, like, 2015 or 2014, I want to say. He was at a BotCon at the time. Miguel Ferrer, Bob Morton in RoboCop. He was Owen Granger in NCIS LA. This one always, like, TV actor deaths always kind of surprised me because they've filmed stuff before they've passed. Like you take Lee Thompson Young, who was on Rizzoli Isles, who was the famous Jet Jackson way back in the day on Disney Channel. He had died in the middle of production of season 6 of Rizzoli Isles, but his character was still kind of there, and that's always weirded me out. The same thing with Miguel Ferrer when he passed. He had still filmed stuff for NCIS LA, and it was a little crazy. Bill Paxton. Yep. You put Richard Hatch on here, and I know that's Captain Apollo and Battlestar Galactica, but all I can think of is the first guy that won Survivor way back in 2000.
Got like Len Wein, Len from DC Wein, Comics. Yeah.
Creator of Wolverine.
Yep, and June Foray.
June Foray. Neil and I did a special Tooncast remembering her.
Heather North.
Yep, voice of Daphne on Scooby-Doo.
Lost a bunch of singers, lost bunch of actors, lost Home Alone's dad.
Yeah, John Hurd.
Hugh
Hefner, Playboy. Mr. Playboy himself passed away in 2017.
Can you imagine if that guy was still alive right now? No, I'm just saying with all the allegations flying around.
Yeah.
He would be like butter on the wall. Like they would just be, everybody would be after him.
Mm-hmm.
We lost Adam West.
Adam West, Batman, that's right.
Sir Roger Moore.
James Bond is dead. Yeah.
There's still more.
Yeah, no, I know. Everybody always makes, or at least where I know this
Shark
from.
It, Trebek.
Yeah. Where I know this from is more so a podcast I used to listen to. It was called For Your Ears Only. It was by Ian and Adam. Ian Wilson and Adam, I forget what his last name was. But anyway, they reviewed all of the Bond films at the time, a number of years ago, for Earth2.net. And their joke always was, oh, this person isn't older than Roger Moore, because Roger Moore just seemed like he was going to live forever and all that. Yeah. Tom Petty from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers passed away this year, too.
Yep. And we lost Mike Ilitch, the guy that owned the Detroit Tigers, Red Wings, and created Little Caesars, my former employer.
Yes, your former employer.
Yeah, that was a little crazy. I don't miss it. I mean, I do, but I don't. Like, it's kind of a bittersweet.
Yep. But yeah, very sad to see everybody go in 2017. A lot of people. And it's always just kind of shocking with certain ones of these. Like, some you could say, we could see that coming or whatever kind of thing. But yeah, no, it's always so, so crazy. A lot of TV happening this year, which at the last half of the year I kind of fell out of, but I have been watching a lot of stuff as well. We, as always, are going to do our top 10 favorite TV shows, I guess you could call it. We'll probably alternate. So what is your number 10 choice for TV, sir?
My number 10 choice, Gotham.
I stopped at the end of season 3. I haven't even watched season 4. I don't care enough anymore.
I still like it. It's gotten better this season, and that's why it's kind of hard for me to turn it off, because they finally made Gordon captain. By a rather weird circumstance, but he's still captain. And
when he becomes commissioner.
That'll probably be the end of the series. Another 3 seasons. You know,
no! 3 seasons. Don't! You and your predictions, don't you fucking dare predict this show gets 3 more seasons. Hell no.
It will. Because they're gonna make Batman, you know. I mean, he's still a dude wearing hockey pads right now, so.
Yeah.
That, and he's like, party on, Garth.
Party on, Wayne.
Yeah, so. I'm kind of like, eh. And
no.
So yeah, then there's the aspect that just the way the characters are playing out, I think that a lot of it's pretty brilliantly done. So
please tell me Fish is still gone.
Oh, she's gone. She is dead without a. Thank God. Without a I love how they keep bringing back Butch, but.
Yeah, Butch rules. I love Butch. Butch
well,
is
they,
awesome.
They killed him off and made him Solomon Grundy.
Oh my God, that's right.
So
I remember seeing that in the news. I was like, damn.
But he just woke up from his
nap.
nap, and he's like, "What happened to me?" You know, and so it's kind of funny. And then Nygma, yeah, he's been put on ice before, and Penguin's a psychopath. Mm-hmm. Professor Pig, pretty disgusting, but. But yeah, I mean, the series has gotten better, and they're alluding to more fun things in the second half.
Yep. My number 10 is Supergirl. She's on the low end this year because season 3, outside of Crisis on Earth X, has kind of sucked. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the fact of my wife's influence, because Karen's been watching it since the beginning, just as we have, but like... As I'm watching it with Karen and she's pointing out all these emo things that Kara does and all these just stupid things that Kara does and says, and I'm like, oh my god, yeah, this show is so horrible. Oh, it's almost unwatchable.
It's completely unwatchable. The show is my number 9, so I feel that's a good transition point.
Yes.
It's not terrible. It's gotten better now because they finally managed to thrash Supergirl to the point of death.
Yeah.
Showing that she's not invincible. And it's kind of interesting to see that perspective of the character, plus the fact that she was like all emo through the first half of the season. And we're getting like the Legion of Superheroes.
Right.
From the future and whatnot, so you know it's not terrible, but I definitely would take the rest of the Arrowverse over this.
Oh, easily, yeah. I mean, hell yeah! Like, you know, we were wondering and kind of complaining about how much Superman was going to be in the show and whatever else, and he's not been in it that much, which is fine. It's supposed to be her show, but like. It was better with the two of them dealing with stuff, or like no, like just oh my god. All right, so you mentioned the Arrowverse. My number 9 is Arrow. Arrow is still better than Supergirl. Arrow season 6, I believe, is Arrow season 1 and 2 caliber of good at this point. It's not as bad as seasons 3, 4, and 5. Arrow season 6 is back, kind of on track, doing this whole team up. Thing with the whole team and everything else. I like that. I think Arrow is on its way to being a much better show at this point, once again. But it's still on my low end.
Yeah, so my number 8 is Kevin Can Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin James.
And Leah Remini. They're basically... King of Queens again.
Basically, they work together instead of being a married couple. And she's a nice addition to the show because it kind of shakes things up and kind of gives it a different perspective. There's like less of the family in it. I mean, it's in there, but it's less than before. And it's more of him back in the workforce.
Oh.
So it's gotten interesting. There's a lot of the antics between the two that are very King of Queens-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Which work, but I think it works better that they're not a couple.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, I mean, the show's very enjoyable, fun to watch. I watched that with Marion. It's definitely kind of in the vein of like Last Man Standing for Tim Allen. This for, you know, Kevin James, this is kind of the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. My number 8 is not anything you're going to care about, but
nope.
The WWE shows, Raw, Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, I'm only bringing up this is because this year, 2018, is the 25th anniversary of Monday Night Raw, so that's a big deal. But I've been loving that kind of stuff. Ryan the Inflow Merkley and I have been doing Mayhem Mics off and on throughout the year of 2017, and... We're going to start branching out to other things than just the weekly shows and the pay-per-views. We're going to branch out to other things on the WWE Network. But so far for 2017, I've liked both Raw and SmackDown as well. What about you at number 8, sir?
Well, I just gave you my number 8.
Seven.
My number 7 is Big Bang Theory.
I've completely fallen off the wagon. Like, I love the Big Bang Theory, but like I have not... actively watched since season 9. I've seen episodes here and there of season 10 and 11, but I don't know.
We're getting closer to a more functional cast of characters. And I think we're getting towards kind of that whole Sheldon becoming more normal and Raj becoming more normal.
Yeah.
Which it's been in dire need of for quite some time. So, I mean, it's just gotten better, but it's still heavily playing on a lot of its familiar kind of Mary Sue type stuff, like kind of, you know.
Yeah, the one thing I've always said about the Big Bang Theory in its, at this point, 11 years on the air, because it was 10 years last year, 2017, but the one thing I've always said about the show, as the seasons progress, the character progression, the character storyline and all that really amps up. Like, at season 2 or 3, I never expected Sheldon and Leonard to have wives and things like that, you know, at season 7, 8, and 9. Never, ever expected Howard to ever get married. And I never expected Raj to ever actually talk, but now that he does, it's kind of interesting and fun. I still love the show. It's just, I just kind of fall off the wagon with it a little bit. All right, my number 7 is probably going to be your number 6, 5, or 4. I don't know exactly where you've got this one, but Fox's Lethal Weapon. Man, I'm loving, like, season 1 was good. I love how they've made this Riggs and Murtaugh their own thing while still being able to call back to certain elements of the film series. The one specific episode I can think of is from season 1 when they do the pool jump scene from the hotel floor, the business or whatever it was, but basically they jump off of a building and land into a pool, which is what happened in Lethal Weapon 2. I love the character progression of Riggs. I think that's going well. I'm just waiting for him to eventually get with Dr. What's-Her-Name, Jordana Brewster there. So yeah, Lethal Weapon. What do you got for your next one?
Well, for my next one, I have Arrow. because the season has gotten better than some of the previous ones.
Yep.
And it's also the fact that it's the originator of the entire universe, and then the fact that they've been shaking things up continuously with the show. Some of it's expected, some of it's just kind of baggage in a sense, but altogether it's not bad. So I would say that it's vastly improved over the last couple seasons.
Yeah, absolutely it has. My next one is Chicago PD. This is basically Dick Wolf. This is his Chicago series. This is the second TV series in the Chicago one. First one was Chicago Fire and Chicago PD and Chicago Med. They tried to do Chicago Justice, but that didn't last too long. I like this show. I think it's great. Jason Behe is the main character. He's got a voice that just, wow. Absolutely brilliant. It's got good characters, good storylines, so I enjoyed watching that this year. Moving on to number 5, what do you got?
Well, this one's probably going to give me a little bit of flack, but I can pull this one off. And it's Star Trek Discovery.
Why? This should be number 10. Come on.
I have my reasons for either side of it.
Uh-huh.
While I do like the some of the technology and some of the designs and some of the grittiness and whatnot, some of the storylines, it's not terrible, but it needs a lot of work. Like, there's a lot of plot holes, a lot of issues with it, and a lot of things Klingons that need to be addressed of why things are the way they are, and this technology is as advanced as it is, and yet later on some of this stuff doesn't even exist, or things are constantly contradicted in other elements of Trek, even though this is supposed to have been written by Trek fans who are on the payroll of CBS. And if you check any of the reviewers that are some of the elite that were invited to the CBS premieres, they're all like, oh, bro, this is the show and the show's awesome. And then they're, you know, just spouting off all of that. And then if you look at the, you know, as much as I'm not a proponent for Rotten Tomatoes, if you look at the Rotten Tomatoes scores for the critics versus the fans have this as an overwhelming bomb, as rotten.
Yeah.
And when comparing it to the Orville, the fans have this, have the Orville as like very, very fresh, like in the top of their tier there. And the critics have that as the bomb. And to me, that's kind of funny because, like, I've never put much stock in it, but the fact that the fans are clamoring that one is better over the other and one is doing Star Trek more properly than Star Trek itself. And if you want to hear any of my opinions on Star Trek Discovery, go check out Future Imperfect. And you can hear all my thoughts on that whole series as a whole over the last, like, 15 episodes or so. As I rip it apart and try to find what's good in it. It may take me a while through my rants, but you'll hear it. But yeah, that's, I mean, it's not terrible, and I'm glad that there's a Star Trek series. I'm sad that it's on CBS All Access, because I have found other methods to watch it where it does not live on my computer. And I still stream it. It's just not through CBS. And so we'll leave it at that.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. My number five is going to be Chicago Fire. I watched the first season of this show, but I hadn't watched it since. I'm currently watching the fourth season with Karen, my wife, and I enjoy it. I think it's fun. I think it's funny. It's got some great, great character building moments. I want to eventually go back and watch all of the seasons. That's one of my big plans. I should probably save this for later, but I am going to be bringing back Remote Control this year in 2018, our TV, one of our other TV podcasts, because our other TV podcast is in the Twilight Zone right now. So there's that. So yeah, I will be doing Chicago Fire, watching more Chicago Fire. I'm loving so far what I'm seeing, and how the characters and the storylines are done on that one. Number four for you, sir.
My number four is Lethal Weapon. Just because it's awesome. I'm loving the portrayals that... for one, I'm a big fan of Damon Wayans. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So, Major Payne and everything. So...
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of his, and then the way that these guys play Riggs and Murtaugh is just hilarious, and the way that the other actors play into this whole series is even more hilarious, and I love how they pull like lines from the movies periodically, so it's tasteful and pull characters from it, but it's not like as overwhelming as catching it all in a 2-hour block.
Yeah.
Who
they got for Getz was amazing. Like, I don't even know who that guy is, but like
he's from what's that stupid police show that was on Comedy Central for a while?
Reno 911.
Yep, he was on that. He was on the dude that he was the dude that wore the shorts, and then he also was in it was a remake of a series and a movie and a play. I cannot for the life of me remember it, even though I did it in college. The very play that and it had the other guy from Friends in it. Matthew Perry was in it with him, which is funny. I can't remember this guy's name. They, you know, he was in that. He's like the neat freak, the clean guy in that, and then Matthew Perry's like the slob, which when I did it in class, I was the slob character and the other guy had to be the neat freak, which was perfect for me because like I'm like I can play the dick character like much easier than I can play the we can't do that. No. You know, it's just it's easier for me to turn off the emotions and just be a dick on that. So it's a fun play anyway that this guy was involved with. But yeah, they picked him perfectly. He plays that spastic character really well.
Yep, absolutely. My next number four will be Superior Donuts. This is another comedy series. I love this show. Have you watched this?
Never even heard of this.
Really? You've never heard of Superior Donuts? Oh my god. So
is it animated?
No, it's a comedy series on CBS, I believe.
It's probably why I don't watch a lot of standard television unless it's my go-to series.
Yeah, no, it's a comedy series in line with like Big Bang and things like that, but it's not, it's for all generations. It's not just for like the Big Bang Theory TV series generation kind of thing. Yes, it is on CBS. It stars Judd Hirsch, Jermaine Fowler, Katie Sagal, Anna Baryshnikov, Darren Sills Evans, Diane Guerrero. They've got a bunch of guest stars, but basically Judd Hirsch. If anyone remembers the TV series Dear John, or hell, he was in Taxi, also, you know, 1975's Taxi. He was Goldblum's dad in Independence Day, so that guy. But basically it takes place in a Chicago-based donut shop, and yeah, very, very funny show. Very cool, very funny. Alright, number whatever for you now.
Number three?
Yeah, there's that.
This one would be Legends of Tomorrow.
I'll talk about that later.
Yeah, it's probably your number one. Yeah, I just blow the wind right out of the sails there.
Jackass!
So, anyways, Legends of Tomorrow, I find to be very, very fun. And then the fact that they're just kind of, you know, they're dealing with the time police, and they're like, screw you guys, I'm going home. And then they've managed to change things up with the big crossover event. Kind of throwing the second half of season 3 into a tailspin, kind of trying to refigure things out. And then bringing back more Arrowverse villains from the great beyond and returning
Damian
them to
Dark and,
yes.
Yeah.
So it's been a very enjoyable ride. I don't feel like I'm like trying to get through the show as much as I do through like Supergirl or Arrow. And so for that reason, it's overall just a lot more fun and a lot less baggage. I mean, you have it, but it's a lot less mess to deal with. So I've really been enjoying the way the show's been progressing.
Absolutely. My number three is the drama series on CBS called Bull. This is starring Michael Weatherly, who used to be Agent Tony DiNozzo on NCIS. Bull is a Jason Bull. Dr. Jason Bull is a trial scientist. He's also a psychologist. Basically, it's focusing on trial science, how juries are picked, that kind of thing. And it's just a really fun, fun series. And I just love Michael Weatherly ever since he played DiNozzo on NCIS. This is basically DiNozzo, but as a psychologist kind of a thing. And it's really fun. It's really interesting. It's one of my favorite shows of the year to this point. What do you have for your next number, sir? Number two for you.
Well, it's The Flash.
Why are you copying me? Yeah, we both have The Flash at number two, folks. We did not look at each other's lists. At all. So, The Flash.
Yeah. The Flash. The Bears. So yeah, it's ramped up its game. It's gotten more fun. You've got not emo Barry, you've got, you know, a different dynamic. You've got some characters missing. You got some characters that have powers that are now back in the fold. You've got, you know, the Chamber of the Wells. You've got a stronger villain that's not a speedster. So there's just a lot going for it.
Yep.
This time around. And then the way that they've spun the second half of the season, the way it's going to progress when it picks up, that's going to be a lot of fun too. So,
absolutely. What I love about The Flash season 4 is, as you said, it's not another speedster villain. It's somebody different. It's somebody interesting. Very, very cool. It's the Thinker, who I don't think I've ever heard of him, but
I've heard of him. He's really a Flash villain.
Yeah, and I mean, most people, most, you know, general fans, Gorilla Grodd or Zoom or Reverse Flash or whatever, I understand he is a Flash villain. I just haven't read a lot of Flash stuff or haven't known a lot about the Flash universe for a while. So, but I absolutely love it. I think it's fun. I love how Barry's really come into his own now. We're finally past the point of him. I mean, he does still learn new things with his powers, but we're past the point of anybody teaching him anything, like, directly. Like, first two seasons, it was Wells, Yabard, whatever, teaching him stuff. Season 3, kind of the same thing. Season 4, he's kind of come into his own with the team and everything else, and they're developing Caitlin and Cisco and all that. But absolutely love The Flash. Before we get to our number ones, folks, just have to say, because I was going to be on this episode of Ultra Geek, but just stuff happened that I just could not be with Powers and Steve. Crisis on Earth X is by far the best crossover they've done.
Oh yeah,
it absolutely is. Like,
it was a lot of fun. Yeah, we did that on Legends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was just that crossover was what I was hoping for the first time around.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, very, very cool. Did you know something interesting about that crossover? They used the song twice. Not in the crossover, but in the universe twice now.
What one?
The song that Supergirl sings at the wedding, Barry sung to Iris, like, at the end of season 3 or something or other.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't pay that close of attention to when they're singing. I don't care much for the singing bits on the shows. Like, I like the background music.
Yeah.
I tune out the rest.
No, Barry's only done it twice in the four seasons. I just dig it because I was never a fan of Glee, but just knowing that's where Grant came from, kind of a thing, like, that's why I always pay attention to that and dig it. All right, number one for you, sir. What do you got?
The Orville. And you might be wondering why I have a Seth MacFarlane show. And the answer is simple. He, one, has guested in Star Trek. But he's also written, and I saw this video he made in college or in high school, replicating Star Trek, mm-hmm. like with really like cringeworthy effects, but it was really good for what it was. And they gave it kind of this, you know, he loves Star Trek is my point, and he wrote probably the closest thing to a Star Trek series we're ever going to get again. Just because of the fact it feels like I'm watching The Next Generation. And to me, that is all the reason in the world to watch it. So if you're not on board with Discovery, or even if you are, it's the closest, like, it might as well have been a Star Trek series. Like, there's a lot more comedy and a lot less, there's very much the ramifications, the social issues, the kind of science-y dialogue, the kind of the ships and everything, and a lot of the ways things play out. They have, you know, obviously their own version of the Klingons and have their own versions of like most of the TNG crew. Like it's basically like a carbon copy of like TNG in the vein of who the characters are and the type of aliens they are. But it's very fun. I don't feel like I'm sitting there trying to power run through the episode and then they kind of put a button on either side of the episode at the end, so you're not having like this overarching seasonal episode, mm-hmm. Which is kind of nice. And then you get, I mean, there's still the arc is still there regardless, but
it's not so in your face.
It's not so in your face, and it's not trying to push as hard on trying to fit in continuity like Discovery. Whereas Discovery, I don't really see how it fits into the original continuity. Like I think I would have felt better if they would have just completely rebooted and then had nothing from the original and just started from scratch and then just called it Star Trek. Like, because that's basically what they've done to us. Just throwing in bits of nostalgia. And with the whole thing on the Orville, it's Star Trek without the name.
Right.
And that's what I really enjoy about it. Like they've had the whole social media, you know, planet kind of talk of how people, you know, oh, you bumped me or you didn't give me your seat or your seat to a pregnant lady, and they record you and put you on social media, and then you go on this social media site and everybody just beat you to death with words and you know, thumbs down to you and everything else, which is the only thing that social media doesn't have is a thumbs down, but YouTube does. But yeah, it's funny just because it's a lot lighter tone, a lot lighter graphically than Star Trek, and yet it still accomplishes the same goal.
Absolutely. And my number one, well, he spoiled it, but Legends of Tomorrow. This series is just so fun. It really is. Plus, Blake Neely's music in it is pretty much ramped up for season 3. Like, when they did Justice Society of America. Like meeting the Justice Society, oh my god, that just such cool music. The characters are getting better and better with each season. As I said a moment ago, the crossover Crisis on Earth X was by far the best crossover ever that they've done. And it's also the saddest because this is where we lose Dr. Martin Stein as Firestorm, as one half of Firestorm, because Victor Garber wanted to go off and do plays and Broadway and things like that, which I like the way they did it, but still, I don't know. But yes, Legends of Tomorrow has really ramped up. I've loved all 3 seasons of the show, but it's getting so good. Absolutely. Alright. I did not watch a lot of cartoons this year. You only have 2 cartoon series that you've listed in the top 5 cartoons. So what are your 2 cartoon series?
Star Wars Rebels and Transformers Robots in Disguise. Mm-hmm. Rebels, there's really no explanation. It's just really good. Robots in Disguise, it's not really good, but it's Transformers, so... And it's better than the Prime Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
Of Combiner Wars, Titan Wars. Mm-hmm. So much better than that. Even though it's geared towards a kid. I fear for the next wave of Transformers fans because Transformers Evergreen or Cyberverse, which is next. totally unrelated to everything that's out right now, but it's going to be very kiddish, even though they're already going to have a Rescue Bots Junior or Rescue Bots, like, go to school or something stupid like that.
Rescue Bots Academy, yeah.
Whatever, for kids. And so this one's going to be for the 8 to 12, so there'll be nothing for... I mean, you could technically argue that the Prime Wars trilogy is geared towards us, but it's garbage, so...
Yeah. I think I stopped watching... I haven't really watched any of Rescue Bots itself, but I stopped watching Transformers Ridge 2015, like, after the first season. I want to go back to it, but I just have no time right now. Alright, now we get into our top 10 movies. Once again, I'm not trying to phone this in, folks. I literally saw very few... I have not seen Justice League. I have not seen Star Wars. I have not seen Thor. I haven't even seen Logan yet. I have not seen Kingsman, even though I plan on doing so. I have not seen Spider-Man Homecoming, Wonder Woman, any of that stuff. So, the movies I did see last year... Cars 3, Despicable Me 3, Guardians 2, and Transformers 5. They're in reverse order. So Transformers 5 was the worst of the four. Guardians 2 was very well done. I enjoyed Despicable Me 3 more than that, though. And Cars 3 is by far the best out of them all for me on my list. What about you, sir? What are all the movies you saw this year, last year?
Well, counting them... Well, my honorable mentions, I'll say I had The Last Knight, Resident Evil, Blade Runner... 2049, Downsizing, The Shack, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Downsizing is I expected so much more out of that. those films were all good. And then I have for my number 10, Wonder Woman, number 9, Spider-Man Homecoming, Cars 3 for number 8, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales, number 7. It's kind of my guilty pleasure movie. Pirates of the Caribbean in general. Number 6, I had Kingsman, The Golden Circle. Number 5, Justice League. Number 4, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. It may not seem like it's fun, but it's a lot of fun to watch. I actually enjoy that much more than I did the original, which is really kind of sad to say, but it's because when you're a kid and the only thing that's ever on is Jumanji, there's never a reason to want to go back and watch it. That'll be a fun one to go back and do, like, a movie feature type thing later on. I have Star Wars The Last Jedi, Logan, and Thor Ragnarok. So.
I did see one other one this year, though, in the very beginning of the year. Triple X, Return of Xander Cage. I liked that a lot. I thought that was funny. It was cheesy as hell. And also Fast 8. I saw Fast 8 or Furious 8 or The Fate of the Furious or whatever they're calling it. So I did like those movies as well. Do we have any favorite moments or epic fails of the year, Steve?
Not really sure as far as the epic fails or moments of the year. Epic fails is probably the downfall of social media.
Yeah.
Just everybody being venomous and evil to each other.
Yeah, social media has really increased
the hate.
The hate and the cyberbullying thing. Like, we just talked about this again in 2017.
Isn't it funny that Dodd, you, me, and Dustin talked about this back in 2012?
Yep, we talked about it last year,
that
too.
It was only going to get worse. And yep. And even the beginning of last year, it wasn't necessarily as bad. But the last 6 months has been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And... even when I revisited that in Altered Geek, because I took part of that 2012 conversation, edited it down, and reused it, and then talked about it again. I mean, the concept still applies. Like, it's still a problem, but
yeah, it's a very big problem.
People just, you know, it kind of goes with that saying of don't have anything nice, don't say anything at all. And that goes all the way down to people that are, you know, normal people, all the way up to people in high positions. People should eloquently and creatively say what they're trying to say without trying to be a dick. And that's just common courtesy. Like, it almost makes you want, like, this, and this is kind of where I've come back to watching a lot of older stuff. We were watching a lot of old television, my wife and I, because we're watching, like Family Matters, Full House, you know, Step by Step, Boy Meets World, a lot of those shows where they actually had values.
Yeah.
On how to teach people, and then you watch the stuff now and it's just blatant disrespect for everybody. And, you know, there were repercussions for it in those shows. And even though some of it was still trying to push the envelope at the time because it was late 80s, early 90s, but it's just a general lack of respect for people. And it kind of boils down to the fact that people are just raised into that element and just aren't brought away from it. So I'm kind of wishing that, you know, we as a society would kind of go beyond that. And, you know, yeah, if you don't really agree with something, great, but don't sit there and belittle other people over it. Like, I have a blatant disrespect for Star Trek Discovery, but I don't hate any of the people associated with the property. Like, yeah. Because, you know, they're doing their job. That's what they love. They're getting to do what they love. They're, you know, it's not my job as somebody to sit there and say that they're evil individuals for ruining canon or something like that. You know, it's again, it kind of plays to that headcanon that everybody was having the issue with The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Of people just in general disliking something because it doesn't fit their mental issue with what they've come up with over the waiting. And so that's kind of the boat that everybody's kind of in, is everybody is led to their own conclusions instead of trying to be well informed before opening said mouth. And that's social media as a whole. Like, it's just, it's a cesspool. Like, I can't even with the whole social media thing. It's society. Yeah. It's just society's screwed. People just need to, you know, go back in time 50 years and then we'll be all right. As far as how people talked, at least.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying as far as like rights or anything, because, you know, we've got more now than we've ever had. And, but yeah, it's just crazy. People just need to take a respect class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like, there are just certain things that you may want to say in your head, or you may want to say them out loud, but you also need to understand and know that there are certain things that just should not be said.
There's a lot of things I'd like to say. I just keep it in my head, because otherwise I'd be in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here. Okay, favorite moments out of the year: meeting Karen, obviously, falling in love, getting married, that kind of stuff. That should go without saying, but...
Well, favorite moment, I would say, getting to have the Beast Unleashed in person.
Yes, absolutely. Oh boy, what a world, what a world. Yes, Steve and I finally, if you guys go back to the last episode we released, the 9-year in the making episode, Steve and I finally got to meet in person. Michael Wilson and I and Steve finally got to meet in person, so all three of us. That picture will be in this post. Very, very cool, very, very awesome and fun. Not a lot of epic fails of the year. I'm sure there are plenty out there, but I'll let Impractical Jokers or whatever true TV series tackle that. I think we're going to take a quick break here and hear from some of our favorite other podcasts, like Simplistic Reviews and Cinema Geek Podcast here on GCRN and a bunch of other stuff. We'll come back with a very small teasing, and we'll close it out after this.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies.
We Talk TV. We Talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download this show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed. Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Coming in 2016, Steve Megachon and myself, TF2 and Mike, bring you a brand new TV review show. Welcome to Podcaster Meets World. That's right. We're launching a Boy and Girl Meets World review podcast here on the GCRN. It'll take us 70 episodes of the podcast to review all 158 episodes of Boy Meets World. After that, we will tackle Girl Meets World. You can find Podcaster Meets World on GeekCastRadio.com and iTunes starting late summer, early fall 2016. So come on and walk through the world with us.
I love the Feeny Call.
Hello, everyone. This is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Each week, we review
the latest from Hollywood, California.
Well, yes, Brendan. We also
give top three lists.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks again, Brendan. Additionally, you can hear us
talk other movie news, trailers, varying movie series, or other interesting film-related topics, and even rants and raves of the week.
On top of our main show, every Friday,
you can also hear our extra film podcasts.
You can listen to the In Session Film podcast on
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or at InSessionFilm.com. Listen to the In Session Film podcast every Monday and Friday. Subscribe today and hear me verbally beat JD like a Cherokee drum.
No. That's not how this works, sir.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Dacian, the superhero webcomic. Dacian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, drama, mayhem, and more, read it now at Dacian.com. Dacien.com. And for the new Dacian podcast, go to Patreon.com/Dacian.
So we are back here on the GCRN 2017 Year in Review, folks. I know it's kind of been a short one. We're going to give you a small teasing of what we're coming up in 2018, but as I said, there's going to be a whole other podcast laying out what's going to be happening with GCRN in 2018. New podcasts this year, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly.
Well, there'll be a few.
Yes.
There'll be a lot of retiring and a lot of renewing.
Yep.
Some shows getting a total refresh, some of them getting a slight refresh.
Yeah.
As you've noticed, like Altered Geek, myself and Michael Powers, because we're now recording on Wednesdays, we're doing a triple shot of 20-some-odd minute episodes, anywhere from 20 to 28 minutes, episodes of just one topic, and running it through the ringer, and then releasing them, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, and then having the full show on Friday, which I hope people like. And if not, I'll stop doing it. But I just figured it would give people something different, because then I could do the news and feedback in the Friday show.
Mm-hmm.
And then All Things Transformers will be getting a similar, aside from doing the profiling. Of Transformers fans, as we get time with that. But I'm doing more of the new stuff, more of the coverage of Titans and elements therein. And in Future Imperfect, I'm going to adopt a similar format. It's going to be kind of broken up more. I mean, there's going to be a lot of revamping across the board for GCRN content over the next couple months. Also, we'll be coming back with the GCRN Awards.
Yep.
In a couple of weeks, that'll be starting back up again.
Yes, yes, it will. Powers of Grayskull series, Optimus Soul and I are on to the New Adventures of He-Man, which is by far the worst cartoon in the 90s ever produced, in my opinion. It's even worse than any of the Sonic cartoons, including Underground, and Underground's bad.
Hey, they're making a new She-Ra show for Netflix.
Yeah, I know, I saw that.
She-Ra!
Nah, just wait, He-Man will be there next.
Uh-huh.
At least they'll do it right and not cancel it, like Cartoon Network.
Yeah, true. So we're slogging our way through New Adventures. The goal for Powers of Grayskull series is that the show will end December 31st, 2018. So that's the goal, have all 125 episodes out to everybody then. Steve and I will eventually be starting Podcaster Meets World, which is our Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World show, celebrating 25 years since Boy Meets World, because it's been 25 years since that show premiered in 1993. So that's what's going on there. We've got, like Steve said, a bunch of other stuff that we'll give you guys a full rundown with on another podcast. We did do Top 100 Villains, Fictional Villains Countdown this past year, which was a wild success and most, by far,
it was,
the
it was
most...
very entertaining, but I have to say that my, with the stuff within the top, or the last episode, the top 25, I was pleasantly surprised of the fact that a lot of mine were kind of pretty close to where I pegged them for.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got your number one, so...
I'm a predictor of sorts. I like to predict things.
He's a Nostra dumbass, folks, is what he is.
Jerk. Listen to my 2018 predictions podcast for Altered Geek. That'll tell you some of my predictions, and then people have to call me out on it if I'm right.
Or if he's wrong. That's always good, too.
and Powers has a number in there, too, so that'll be fun.
Cool. All right, there will be more Geekcast Radio main episodes as well coming in 2018. We're still going to be doing more Mayhem Mics. I'll be doing more La La Land lounges and things like that. GCR has also become the test bed for any new podcast that we'll be launching kind of thing. So those will be coming out. We're not going to say what those are.
Yep, GCR and Presents will be more so. You're going to see a lot more of testing of new shows. You're going to see a lot more kind of gauging of interests, and you'll still have some general geek topics on it as well, but it's also going to be the house of the top 50 countdown. We're moving GCR and Wars as a whole, as a subsidiary underneath Geekcast Radio, just like Mayhem Mikes and GCR and Retro, which may or may not return this year.
It better.
That's
a Kevin thing. Kevin and I have to deal with that.
But we're going to have GCR and Wars episodes and tournament come back, the top 50 countdown, and then the top 100 again will make a resurgence this fall. So it's going to be a pretty loaded year for Geekcast Radio and a lot of the stuff we have coming down the pipe in the future. So be sure to stay tuned to geekcastradio.com as well as our social media platforms.
Absolutely. All in all, it's going to be a rather stocked year. I believe the term is fully loaded. So you
it's
can
gonna
visit...
be kind of a fuller house, you would say?
No. Worst Netflix show ever.
Actually, it's gotten really good this season.
No.
Especially when the second half of season
three
dropped.
Yeah, no. Visit the website geekcastradio.com. We can comment on this and all other episode posts. Leave us feedback through our email address, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. I am at TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
At SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
We want to wish everyone a happy new year, a very great, blessed 2018. We hope everyone's dreams come true in this even numbered year. And unleash the geek in you. We will catch you next time.
Get.
Yes, Michael.
Just keep driving.